Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's awesome to be here this morning, and what a great time of the year it is. It's been an awful eventful week, that's for sure, with all the things that are going on. And one of the things that I throughout the week, as I go through, I keep my eyes and ears open for what is going on in the world around us. And I want to thank Carrie for sharing the link that he put on Facebook, and I was able to find some things on that site. In this time of Christmas, this time of the year, this season, there was a couple things that were on that site. Voice of the persecuted, not the voice of the martyrs. I think they probably are kind of interchange their information. But the headline read this: "The Muslim cleric incites children to slaughter Christians and Alawites in Syria." And that is what is going on even in this time of the season, this time of the year. This time when we should be, when the amazing thing is how the world has embraced this time of the year, this date, as something that is special, something that is different, something that they've looked forward to all year long. And it's amazing how many times it's mentioned throughout the year. There's only so many days until Christmas. It's almost like everything kind of revolves around this time of the year. It's an amazing, special time. And there are some disturbing things that are going on around us, but I want to encourage you this morning that it's an amazing time. It really is a Merry Christmas. It really is an amazing time. And the title of my message is "The God of Christmas. Have you worshipped Him?" The God of Christmas, have you worshipped Him? As I said last week I talked about how there was no room at the end, and that there was no room in some people's hearts. And even now in this season, there's still that we have to fight, that we have to fight against, and not in a negative way, in a positive way. That there are those who reject what is truth and what is plainly written and what is plainly can be accepted as truth. There are those who in this time of the year, who are so focused on other things that that they miss what's really going on, what's really going on around them, what really is this joy, this season. He is the God of Christmas, this God that we worship here, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As John mentioned, it was foretold that there was going to be a time when these things were going to take place, when we were going to be able to see the outworkings, the manifestation of God doing exactly what He said He was going to do. There was a time when God was going to bring that, and it's been fulfilled. And so He is the God of Christmas. He's a God who made all these things possible. He's a God who made these things. And my focus is in two places, in Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And I want you guys to think about it and go along on a little trip with me. As many of you know, and maybe some of you have forgotten, that there was a period of time between the Malachi, in the way that we see it in our, the way that our Bible is laid out. There was a time, a period between Malachi and John the Baptist, where God had ceased to speak to His people directly. There was a period of time, a 400-year period of time. And remember, Isaiah had prophesied this by saying, "The people who walk in great darkness." The people who walk in great darkness. Can you imagine a time where God wasn't speaking to you through His Word or through anything else? Through events, through people, through other believers. Imagine that. Imagine a time where there was just total dead silence from God. And that's what was happening. 400 years silence. Dead air. God was no longer talking. God had talked enough. God had said enough. Now it was just a time of waiting. And here in Luke chapter 2, we see God chooses to use, and I don't know if you've really sat and thought about it. I really thought about this as the week went through, and I was just amazed what God decided to choose to begin to proclaim this great truth, this great event that was coming. Let's read it. Starting in verse 8. John read some of this. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. So far, not a fantastic story. So far, it's just shepherds out there in the field doing what they do. And this is also a good thing to, I want to segue just a moment. Just remember that in the mundane things of life, God is still in them. And we shouldn't curse them or hate them. Because even in the mundane things of life, God still works. These guys were out there doing what they're supposed to do. They're shepherds. What do? They take care of sheep. Where do they take care of them? Outside in the hills where the sheep can have what they need. That's what they do. But in verse 9 he says that an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. I think in some verses it says they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Amazing. What was going on out there? There was this 400 years of silence, and all of a sudden God begins to speak. Who did he speak through first? He speaks through this singular angel, we are told. And he goes to a man in the Holy of Holies, and he appears, and God speaks directly to this Zechariah. He uses an angel, a messenger, angelos from the Greek. Angelos is just a messenger. But he's not just any messenger. Gabriel, I like what Gabriel says to Zechariah when Zechariah doubts. And he says, my name is Gabriel. I'm an angel of God. I am before the face of God continually. That's what God chose to begin to speak this message. He uses, if you want to think about it, he uses a supernatural being to come into our existence. A being who is from the eternal realm. In the Bible, Isaiah and Job helps us as well and says that before the foundations of the earth, as God was forming the heavens and the earth, so as he's making the heavens and stretching them out, their vastness in their immensity, as he's doing these things and he's bringing the earth into existence and bringing all these things into existence and creating them, it says that the sons of God were praising him. They were rejoicing. These are the same angels that were present. And I want you to think about this time, the silent time that God had. He had promised something. And all of a sudden, these angels who were there in eternity on the other side of creation, this other realm, if you will, this other dimension, if you will, whatever it takes to help you understand that these were different types of creatures, powerful beings, amazing beings that can cross over seemingly at will from what we see. God sends them and they go. They can cross, and Jacob's ladder is talked about, where the angels ascend and descend on this ladder from heaven to earth. These supernatural beings that are interposed into our existence, they come and they begin speaking this amazing thing. They tell a woman who's old, or tell a man who's old, your wife's going to have a baby. How's this possible? And Like I said, I think I said last week, and it might have been over at the boys' home, but I like that Zechariah shows some wisdom in saying, well, she's along in years. He doesn't say she's old. She's along in years. How's this going to happen? I don't see this happening. Basically, he was just doubting. But he uses an angel, and he comes in and he speaks. And it says here in verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. What happened with Mary? Mary, this young maiden, this young virgin girl, this pure innocent as can be, I suppose, but this young lady, the angel of the Lord comes to her, and that's the first words out of their mouths. When you watch these interchanges with these supernatural beings, that's one of the things that you see that's common. Number one, they always begin by saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Well, because of the glory of the Lord that shines around them. And in many instances, people fall to their faces before these angels. It says in Revelation, and it says in Daniel. And the angels that are really from God, when people fall down and they're frightened and they fall down and they go to begin worship, a true angel, messenger of God, says, no, 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 you're not to worship me. I'm just a messenger. That's all I am. The one that sent the message, him, you're to worship. And so these angels are coming. There's this. Remember, there's this long silence. And all of a sudden, these angels begin to appear. This one in particular that brings this message. And then there's another angel that comes to a group of people. Who did he come to? He came to the lowly shepherds. They were not looked upon as, hey man, those are a group of guys I really want to hang around with. Those are the guys I want to influence and make friends of. They weren't the ones that the world would have chosen to come to. And in fact, it says when in the Genesis, when it's talking about Joseph, and Joseph had been sent there, he had been sold as a slave by his brothers, but he'd been sent there by God for other means. At one point, he tells them, don't tell the Egyptians that you're shepherds. Just keep that on the lowdown. Don't tell them our vocation. Just, that's okay. Just tell them you work with herds and things like that. Just don't mention that word. There was some kind of thing that was affixed to that. I mean, you see the derision that's there, and it's been there for centuries, for millennia. And here the angel of the Lord comes, and this glory that comes about them, and these guys, these shepherds are out there. They're pretty dicey people in history. But one of the things that I'm sure of, they're probably pretty tough people. They're probably not really afraid of a whole lot of things. The things that go bump in the night don't really bother them because they're used to it.
They eat mutton.
They eat mutton, yeah. Yeah. And so they do things differently than a lot of people. And these guys were used to seeing probably strange things out there all the time. But here this event comes, the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terribly frightened. They were afraid. They knew that something different had happened here. This was something that was new. And the angel said to them in verse 10, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. What an amazing message. The message that, hey, you're going to be with child after all these years. The message that, hey, you're going to be with child, but you're not going to have a child that was made by man. And then this message, it's a message, I've got good news, and it's great joy, and it's for all the people. Who did he go to? The lowest of the low. The story of this God who we worship, he comes to the lowliest of people. He comes to the dirtiest of us. He comes to the sickest of us. He comes to the dirtiest places. We see that when this perfect king that was to be, that is to be, is born in a stable, in this dirty place. It's a good picture of what his message was going to be. Good news for all the people. It's a good picture of his intention towards the world and what this story, this event, this historical event really means. Think about it. This King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this Creator of heaven and earth, whom the angels got to see in His majesty, in His glory, in His place where He belongs, at the right hand of the Father, and they see Him condescend and come down and be this little baby, this newborn infant, who has to learn, who has to have the indignity of having himself cleaned and wiped and taken care of. And not only that, he came into a place that was dirty and filthy because there was no room where most of the people would go. It's a perfect picture of Christ coming to filthy, stinky, rotten sinners, to be amongst them, to be in that place, because that's what he was purposed for. That's what he came for. He came to touch the sick and the filthy and the unclean. You know, in that story of the leper that Jesus cleanses, when you think of the Levitical law, when a leper touched you, what were you supposed to do?
Go bathe.
Supposed to go bathe. You're unclean for 7 days.
7 days, okay.
Yeah. You're unclean. But Jesus was different. This was God the Son. Jesus touched this leper and made him clean. He told the leper, go your way. Go and sin no more. Go do what you're supposed to do now. But it didn't affect Jesus in that way. Did he break the law? Did he not keep the law? No. He wasn't affected by it. Not like you and I would be. See, he was different. He was always meant to be different. He was always meant to be this king who was going to come to the lowliest of places, to the lowliest of peoples, to people like me and like you. That's what he came for. This God sent his angels to pierce the veil of eternity, to come to where time is everything, where time takes away and ticks continually and never ceases and just continually eats at everything around us. This God sent his angels and he sent his Son before him and he said, proclaim this. These angels who saw Jesus in his majesty and his glory and all his might. These angels are powerful beings, amazingly strong, amazingly powerful. And they command respect, they command fear when you're in their presence. And it's nothing compared to this little tiny child who came. Nothing. They're just created beings like you and I. And God chose them to come to the lowliest of peoples, to come and to give them this message, good news, great joys for all the people. And then he says in verse 11, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's a Savior and he's Messiah. The Greek word Christos, the Hebrew word Messiah, the Holy Anointed One, who is the Lord. Who is the Lord. And he's a Savior. You need saving. The angel's proclaiming, you need saving. Here's your Savior. He's being born to you today. in the city of David. And he says, this will be, in verse 12, this will be a sign for you. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude, the heavenly host, praising God and saying. Imagine that. You have one angel, you're afraid, he gives you this message. Then all of a sudden, the skies are lit with all these angels, this amazing sound, this resounding song that goes out, and it's the angels of heaven that have been sent to tell these guys, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. With him he is pleased. He's sending a message of good news, of great joy. He has sent his angels. God isn't opposed from sending from eternity to us here in our place where we are. I don't understand all these things. I don't understand why God loves and how he loves this way. And I'm sure the angels were puzzled as well. In fact, one of the epistles tells us that the angels looked down from heaven wondering, what in the world, what in heaven's name is going on here? Why did God the Father send his Son? And why is he hanging around with people like this? The religious people of the earth at that time had that same question. Why is Jesus a drunkard hanging around with prostitutes and thieves and tax collectors and all these other people? Well, the answer is really simple. That's what he came for. That's why he came. Imagine, if you will, that you had some kind of, and I want to give thanks to Alistair Begg for this little description. Imagine, if you will, you had some kind of blood disease and the only cure for it is penicillin. And you are told this, hey, you're going to die, you got a blood disease. Is there any hope for me? Well, there is a cure, yeah. It's penicillin. And it's here if you want it. You say, okay, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. It's great. I believe that. But you don't take it. And later on, somebody comes and says, hey, I heard about what happened. And I heard that you have this disease. And I heard that there's a cure. Oh, yeah, there is. And it's right there. And I believe in it. I believe in it. Oh. Aren't you going to take it? Well, I'm going to die. So that's what they told me. I have this disease and I'm going to die. But don't you believe that that can cure you? Yeah, but I'm going to die. You see, Jesus came not for people just to believe in him. Jesus came so that you would take that inoculation. So that you would take that shot. So that you would take the cure, the only cure, the one and only cure that there is for the sin of mankind. The one whom the angel said, this is good news of great joy for all of the people. This is the thing that Jesus came for. This is the reason why Christmas is so amazing. This is the reason why this fulfillment of all these prophecies are so mind-blowing. Because God took eternity, creatures that are made for eternity, and send them here, piercing the veil of time and death and suffering, and leaves their place of glory to come and tell a bunch of lowly people, glory to God in the highest. Do you think they knew kind of what God was doing here? They were glorifying God because they now have seen this majestic king, this majestic son, this king who was with them for eternity, he's come to the people to make himself like part of his creation. This is what he has done. This is what God has done. And those angels are going, man, this is amazing. Glory to God. You guys have the King. You have the Christ. You have the one that we've seen for eternity who made the heavens and the earth and did all these things. This is what you have. This is what you have. That's why they were so excited. That's why they were glorifying God. That's why they were saying, good glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is well pleased. This is why, because he sent him to be with us, so that we would have hope, so that we would have love, so that we would have joy, so that we would know that he is faithful, and he's the one who is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is the one who did this. He is the one why we should celebrate. He is the reason why this God of Christmas is the one to be worshipped. And he's the reason why this season matters so much. Because these angels got to see something that you and I didn't get to see. But you know what Jesus said about that? He said to the people that were present with him at that time, who saw him after his resurrection, who saw him in doubt and in disbelief, and said, oh, Thomas, come on, touch and see. See what I have done. See that death couldn't hold me, the grave couldn't handle me, and that I'm alive. See, touch and see. And it's not recorded whether he did or didn't. Thomas simply said, my Lord and my God. What was Jesus' response? Blessed are you, because you've seen me. And you can handle me. You can touch me. That's blessed. More blessed are those who have never seen me and who may never see me until the end and yet believe. More blessed are they. And that's what Christmas is really all about. It's about this message that God, the God of Christmas, the God who came, the God who was willing to pierce eternity and to come to us. I want to read in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, a small little chapter in Isaiah. There's not a whole lot of those in Isaiah. But I was reading through this, like, you know, this fits so much with the message of Christmas. And oftentimes we go through other places in Isaiah. We go to those places that are more famous for this. But as I read this, I was like, wow, this is really amazing stuff. Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 6. In the version that I read, it has a subheading that says, Thanksgiving Expressed. It says there, then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Emmanuel, God with us, he came. He came, and he's coming again, as John said, and as the Bible teaches us. He's coming again. We have reason to rejoice. We have reason to remember these great things, that God sent his Son and that he had a specific purpose and he had a specific people in mind. The sinner, the hopeless, the broken, the destitute, the prostitute, the drunkard, the drug addict, the porn addict, the whatever addict, the family addict. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what he came for. Have you worshiped the God of Christmas this season? Have you remembered to just take a moment and get past all the stuff that needs to be done, the presents that need to be bought, the cards that need to be written, the solitudes or salutations that need to be sent out, all these things? Have you stopped to just put all those things aside and just to worship? Just to worship. And worship this God of Christmas. Worship this God who was willing to come and to send his most precious gift. He's the inoculation. He's the cure for the poison. He's the cure for the debt that we can never pay. He's the one. He's the reason why we should celebrate this Christmas. And regardless of what the world is doing and what it goes and does around us, we should be willing, as it says here in Isaiah, to let the people know that his name is exalted. Tell them so. Whether they want to hear it or not. Tell them. They need to hear it. Make known the salvation of the Lord. Let them know that there's hope. Let them know that the reason for Christmas is really because God is the God of Christmas. And he's the reason why we should celebrate. Not all these other things, but the reason that he sent even his angels who were there before him in his presence and told us that great message. Great joy has come to you. In the city of David is born to you this day a king, a salvation, a savior. And his name is the only name by which men must be saved. For there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. And it's God's grace that draws us and makes us to know these things. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you sent your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came. We thank you that you, O God on high, condescended and came to be like one of us, to take upon you the tent of flesh, to be like one of us, to be tempted like one of us, to be amongst the lowliest of us, to give us hope, and to show us that you cared, and to show us that unlike the idols and the false gods that people worship, the gods of their own minds and their own imaginations, that unlike them, you love us in spite of who and what we are, and that you're willing to reach into the dirtiest of places for the lost soul who needs you so. Work these truths in our hearts that we would share with the world around us and proclaim that the name of Jesus is exalted forever and ever and ever and ever. And that we worship you because of who you are, the holy, righteous, perfect God who came and gave himself and bore the cross and bore the shame and bore those things so that we could live and so we can be reconciled to the God who made us in the first place. Thank you, O Lord, for all these great truths and more. And I pray that you would work them deeply into our hearts and souls. Bridge that gap, that great divide between the mind and the heart in all of us, so that we would know it and live it, so that others would see it and be thirsty, so that others would see it and be hungry, so that others would see it and be wanting a light in their darkness. Lord, we pray that you would do such a work in us for your name's sake and for the name that is above all name, for his sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.